You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. If you're doing any type of sports betting, jump on it. Head on over to DraftKings.com/sportsbook. I'm Rudo, joined as always by AJ Haefeli, still celebrating the Avs win from last night, but there are plenty of other NHL games going on in round one as well. So we figured we'd take a little bit of a look around the league here and see how early on our predictions are shaping up. Some of them good, some of them not so good, but I don't think there's any better place to start than this this five overtimer from Tampa Bay and Columbus the other day. I mean, the fourth longest game in NHL history, I believe.
Yeah, so my best friend has finally decided to start trying to watch a little bit of hockey after a decade of us being homies. More than a decade. God, it's like 15 years now. And he's finally delved into it. And he and I were gaming together during the last three overtimes. And he kept asking me questions. He was like, "Is this normal?" And I'm like, no,
dude.
No, I was like, look, every year you get a double or triple overtime game and everybody in the hockey world stops what they're doing to watch it.
Yep.
And I was like, this five overtime one, though, this was one for the books because of all the crazy things going on, because Boston and Carolina had to be delayed until the next day.
Yep.
Because Dallas and Calgary started 2.5 hours later and finished before this game did. We're talking, it was the numbers involved in it were insane. I tweeted out like maybe 60 seconds before the game ended that Tampa Bay was creeping up on 200 shot attempts in the game. They finished with 188.
85. Or 80, something like 88 on net, which means Jonas Korpisalo, Columbus's goaltender, made 85 saves and lost this game.
It was crazy, man. It was crazy. And I was thinking about that yesterday. I was going to allude to it in my my post-game article that I wrote where, you know, I mentioned Philip Grubauer making a 14, he had a 14 save shutout. And I'm like, Jonas Korpisalo has to be so pissed off looking at that. Like, come on. That guy got a shutout.
In a world where the Avs sweep Arizona, Arizona could legitimately get less shots on goal than the Tampa Bay Lightning got in a single game of hockey because of these five overtimes.
Yeah, it's true. That would be crazy.
So
all the Avs have to do is play elite defense for three more games and hold them to 20 shots.
Yep.
And that's still insane. Like everything about it. And like Andrei Vasilevsky gets completely forgotten in this conversation because of it. But the guy had one of the great goaltending performances of all time as well.
Made like 60 something saves himself. So,
and like Columbus got a little stronger as that was going on. He had to make some nice saves.
Yeah, you could tell. I mean, both teams at the end were dead tired. But that plays to Columbus's strengths, I think. You know, Tampa is a team that's going to try to outskill you up front. And if you wear them down, bodes well, as Columbus is leading 3-1 in game two right now. So,
yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it was just, as an aside, it was awesome to see Alexander Wennberg make a power move to the net. I bet John Tortorella was like, finally.
Took eight periods of hockey.
He played. Wennberg plays with some passion. He actually plays with a little bit of heart.
I mean, yeah, you mentioned it, but some of the numbers. Seth Jones played over 60 minutes in that game.
Yeah.
I did.
And was almost a negative 20 at even strength in Corsi.
Got smoked.
And what was crazy was the Gavrikov-Savard pairing, negative 50.
Yep.
Negative 50. And they played 10 more minutes than Ryan Murray, and Ryan Murray almost broke even. In a game in which they, at evens, they were outshot attempted like
by a lot,
by like 70 or something.
Well, yeah,
crazy, dude.
I think more than one person owes Korpisalo a steak, even if that was a loss. So
he was probably too tired to take him up on it. He was like that dude, you know. He didn't even jump in like the ice bath afterwards. That was just the next day. He skipped practice and was just like,
just immediately in the ice bath all day. Bed after that game.
Yeah. Like his whole body was just a bruise.
Yep.
He looked like an aged banana.
I'm more curious about how he turned yellow than the bruising.
No, the yellow part just never happened. He skipped it.
It's one big bruised banana guy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the whole thing.
Brutal. Rotting on the inside.
Yeah, and now today he's back and fine. He's only given up one goal, even though, yet again, Tampa Bay has outplayed them.
Yep. But
Has been closer.
Yes, this one has been we'll see. Tampa unlikely to come back in this one. Looking like that's going to even up the series at one. I think everyone took Tampa, so that was a big game one win for our predictions.
Yeah, I think I had him in six or seven.
I had him in four, which isn't going to happen now. But
yeah,
either way,
sweeps, man.
Yeah, they're rare. If you got to go, you got to go in hard. That's my thought.
This was a Columbus team that I liked more than Boston and Washington, and maybe I would have picked over Philadelphia. I really like this Columbus team. I just felt like Tampa Bay was just that one.
They're just too strong.
And they're giving them. They're giving them everything they can handle.
Yeah, for sure. They're not going away easy by any stretch of the imagination. The other side of that is we both picked Boston,
I picked Carolina.
Oh, sorry, that's what I meant. We both picked Carolina. And they ended up losing to Boston in a double overtime game as well. So, one, the East certainly seems extremely competitive with multiple overtimes in game one of series. And two, Boston seems like they flipped a switch a little bit.
Certainly more than St. Louis was able to. Boston definitely looked like a totally different team compared to the round robin group that just looked apathetic.
Yeah, for sure. They were not that interested in it. And then they come out. Well, look, Carolina, just like Columbus, gave Boston all they could handle.
What did you think about the goalie interference call? The one that Carolina had to challenge? And they didn't even know what they were challenging for because the refs wouldn't give them an answer.
That is the dumbest thing ever. I mean,
he had it covered.
Yep.
He clearly had it covered, and then they poke it out of there, and it's like. So I've there have been two goals scored so far, and both out east, luckily. That I think have been kind of bullshit, to be honest with you. That goal and then the goal that Washington scored yesterday, their second goal, where Varley had it in between his legs and the referee loses sight of it and they don't blow the whistle. And so Oshii just jams a stick through his legs and pokes the puck in. And it's like, dude, the goalie can't have it any more than he did. And the same thing with Mrazek having his hand on top of the puck with his glove. Are you guys going to blow the whistle or not? Like, what are you waiting for? As soon as you lose sight of it, you're supposed to blow the whistle. You know that he could not, there's no way that he could physically have seen the puck between Varley's legs because they have that camera on the ice now. I mean,
by default, isn't that goaltender interference? You're preventing the goaltender from making a save if you're reaching into his pads, reaching into his glove, and kicking the puck loose with your stick.
I certainly think the Carolina one was interference. I don't think that I would view the Islanders one so much as interference as much as just a bad officiating job. The other one is like, he has his hand on the puck. How are you letting him just
stab at his hand?
Seriously, just swatting away at it until the puck comes free. Like, what the hell are you doing? And then to come over and tell Rob Brindamore you have to pick one?
That's the part that
make a call.
Like, if you're going to put the onus on the coaches to have to challenge plays, you need to give them the resources to be able to challenge correctly. It's insane otherwise.
You have to tell them what the on-ice call is, not telling them to pick one.
Right. You can't tell them what to do as the ref, like as far as what the call is on the ice, then why are you even here? What is the point of the ref? If you're not going to blow the whistle and then you're not going to
tell that point,
coaches what happened.
At that point, you're calling your own fouls and we're playing street basketball.
Yep, exactly.
Like and then to fine Rod Brindamore, he didn't even say any. He just said, here's what happened.
Yeah, he was like, look, they didn't tell me what to challenge, so I didn't know.
Right. And like every single press conference that you will ever sit through, somebody will be like, hey, can you walk us through what happened with this call or with this or whatever? It happened three times after the Avs game yesterday.
Yep.
Because Arizona media, and this is not a criticism from me anyway, Arizona media was asking Rick Tocchet about and the players about the interference call that Colorado scored the goal on. And they all got on Dan O'Rourke for that. Oh, he's a great official, but that's a bad call with 7 minutes left in the third period.
No fines coming out of that.
And Rick Tocchet, he was like, look, I'm not making excuses. I'm not putting this on the refs, but with 7 minutes to go, there's been interference all game. You can't call that. And I'm, my frustration with that is it sounds like it was blatantly interference.
Yeah.
It sounds like your problem is the first 53 minutes where they didn't call it.
Where you just got away with it for 53 minutes.
And like, yes, officiating is inconsistent like that. But that was also a very obvious interference penalty. The same way that what Burakovsky did was very obvious.
Yep. Clear interference where the guy actively just puts himself between the player and the puck with no effort to go for the puck.
The only qualm I had about officiating yesterday was the roughing call on Ian Cole, and that's because I still haven't seen it.
We still don't know what that play looked like, so.
I just haven't seen it. Supposedly Evan saw a replay of it somewhere. I haven't personally seen it, and that was my only frustration. But otherwise, it was interesting to see that Arizona openly, like, named the official, criticized him, and there's nothing. Rod Brindamore said, here's what happened. Here was our frustration with it. And Tom Dundon with a nice flex and took a picture of the $25,000 check that he wrote.
Yeah, I saw that. So here, I do want to get into this conversation a little bit more, but first,
okay.
Refereeing one of the highest on the list of making people want to drink, both for good and bad. So time to acknowledge Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. If you want an Avalanche Amber Ale to celebrate the Avs winning their game one of the playoffs, of course, you can always head down to the DNVR bar. Great spot to get 8 different Breck brews on tap, or you can go to the farmhouse or your local liquor store and pick up a 12-can sampler or any other Breckenridge Brewery you desire. they have a ton of stuff. If you don't want the Avalanche Amber, they got the Strawberry Sky. They got the Hot Peak IPA. They got the Vanilla Porter Jr. You name it, they will have a beer for you. So give them a try today. And of course, if you are having a drink or two, always a fun time to have a couple on the golf course. But you can keep it to the digital golf course as well with WGT Golf. Sipping a beer on your couch, playing a quick nine holes. You can go to dnvrgolf.com to download. It's a game loved by more than 20 million people around the world. You can play both on your phone and your computer. Be sure to search for DNVR3 to join our clubhouse. We have tournaments every single weekend, so you can compete and get on top of that leaderboard to beat everybody in the DNVR fam, if that's your thing. We play a ton of true-to-life courses, a bunch of different game types, stroke play, match play, closest to the hole, you name it. Get out there, play some digital golf. Again, dnvrgolf.com to download WGT Golf today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. AJ, we're creeping towards this conversation anyway, so it's funny. You get into game one of the playoffs proper in round one, and wouldn't you know it, there aren't eight penalties a game anymore. That five overtime Tampa game, there was one penalty in about five periods of it. This Avs game had only four penalties in it. The calls have tightened up.
And one, like, this is great for Colorado just because they're five. We've talked about this. 5-on-5 is their jam. Two, it's a little frustrating because you know that there's going to come a moment where you get upset about something. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, that moment came for me when poor Matt Calvert,
yeah,
got cross-checked in the back and hit in the nuts with a shot at the same time.
Bad times in front of that net for him, yeah.
And it was like blatantly a cross-check where he was going down, and I'm sure the optics of it, because he took the shot to we'll call it the midsection.
The manscaped area.
He took a shot in the uncomfortables, and it happened at the same time, so maybe the refs were like, oh, that was the shot that did that, and not the 2x4 laid across the small of his back. But a lot of cross-checking yesterday went on.
There was quite a bit.
And that's not me saying it was only Arizona. There was a lot of cross-checking going on.
Zadorov threw a good 4 or 5 himself, too, on the other side of
that. Like, it was, if that's... Given we're in the bubble situation, and I've made this argument previously, that I think that referees and teams in the postseason, they should stay together.
Yeah.
And
I think that's fine.
That way, because that way an official is going to call something, like, you can at least try to get as close to consistency as you can. That way, a cross-check in one guy's eyes is not a cross-check in the other guy's eyes. You're not adjusting game to game.
Right.
Use the bubble. Use the bubble to give this a whirl. I understand that there's a human element to this where you worry about if you ride an official.
Things like that. Yeah.
And then things do start to become personal or whatever. But, like, they're paid for that not to be a problem.
It's give and take, right? And this is a great opportunity to try something new there.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the same official every single night is not going to be perfectly consistent. I understand that, but the players are going to learn tendencies of referees over a 7-game series, and they're going to know with a higher level of certainty what they can and cannot do in any given
game. And then, hey, maybe you end up with the crew that gets graded the highest, and as you advance through the playoffs, so do they, and you see them later on.
And then you already know.
Yep. Yeah, and then, hey, you've kind of built that rapport. Instead of it going from game to game to game, I've always liked the idea. I would like to see it tried, to see what the execution of it looks like. If it ends up being a disaster, then obviously you just change it. You're like, hey, this definitely didn't work.
Yep.
If it ends up with and officials are like, nope, I'm going to call penalties on this guy because he said things about my sister last night, you know, and whatever, right? Then, okay, great. Then we know that doesn't work. But I feel like the bubble environment gives this opportunity for officiating crews to stick with a series.
Yeah.
And really develop the consistency that we always complain about consistency.
If there's ever been a time to try things, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, look at what baseball's doing. For better or worse, they have fully embraced weird baseball science mode.
For sure. Just throwing stuff out there. Why not give it a go?
And I honestly, given the circumstance, there's never going to be a better time to try stuff than right now.
100% agreed on that one. Got nothing to lose. Might as well give it a try. Yeah. But looking through the rest of these series as well, we kind of covered a little bit of the East. Obviously, we watched the Avs game. They're going to end up, presumably, if things go by the numbers, Avs will end up with Vegas in round two because of how things shook out. Who do you think has the better opponent between the Avs and Vegas in round one? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think the Avs expended a ton of energy on Wednesday night to get that win.
Through game ones, Arizona looked like the Arizona-Colorado looked like the biggest mismatch in the league.
Yeah. It was not a close game.
Vegas and Chicago didn't look close either.
Vegas took that game 4-1.
Yeah, and like they were up 2-0 in that game, and then they had the challenge
goal thing,
and they scored on the very next shift shorthanded, and then it was 2-1, and then they separated in the third period, and it ended up 4-1 walking away, and that was kind of the Avs game.
Yeah,
yesterday was that it looked a lot closer than it truly was, because it was 0-0 until 6 minutes left in the third period. And then all of a sudden it was 3-0.
Right.
But it felt like it was 3-0 the entire time. Because hockey is cruel and sports are unfair, it was nervy at times yesterday. But they just weren't really that competitive. And that's Chicago was at least competitive with Vegas throughout long stretches of that game.
You're getting away from statistics a little bit with this, but from a feel perspective,
yeah,
it felt like Chicago was in that game. Arizona had 7 shots through 2 periods. It did not feel like they were in
right. That game. And even in the third period, like when they got that power play, everybody was like, oh God, here it comes.
This stupid goal. Yeah.
It's what their best scoring chance came when Phil Kessel missed the net.
Yep. They were not that dangerous.
It just really was not like Game two tomorrow. I wrote this in my thing yesterday, but game two tomorrow is going to tell us a lot about the Avs because of how they handle what should be Arizona's best shot. Yeah. Arizona is going to come. They're going to be embarrassed, and they're going to come with a lot of pride on the line, and they're going to give Colorado the best and biggest that they can handle tomorrow. And if Colorado manhandles that and smacks it down,
series is over.
This really could be
sweep territory.
Exactly. Like we could be rolling towards, I'm celebrating my birthday on Monday with a sweep.
Like, wouldn't that be something?
It would be nice. It's really a really thin line in these types of series, because think about 2 years ago when the Avs made the postseason against Nashville.
Yep.
And Colorado got beat 5-2 in game one, even though they had 1-0 and 2-1 leads.
Yep.
And they got beat 5-2 with Nashville kind of smoking them in the final two periods of that game. It was more competitive than we expected. And then we thought, okay, Colorado has to win game two. And that didn't happen.
It didn't.
And like that was a really highly competitive series. And once that got down to nothing,
there was no coming back.
It was just going to be, it was too much of a mountain to climb.
Colorado pushed that game to 6 and everyone felt like, oh, they did a really good job to make it. 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, and I mean, really that series was really competitive through 4 games. And then the fifth game, the Avs, you know, Andrew Hammond stole it. And the sixth game, they ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And that's, hey, that happens. There shouldn't be any running out of gas in these series, in these playoffs, because that was like, obviously that was right after a long season and they didn't know what they were doing and they were just happy to be there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, but the goal for the Avs should be, we want to put Arizona down.
Yep.
We don't want people to think about Arizona the way they thought about us 2 years ago after that, after this series.
Where everybody was like,
they're kind of for real.
God, we're going to have to watch out for this Colorado team.
Exactly. So I think that's that what the Avs are trying to avoid.
I think that was the series that put them on the map for everybody that said, okay, maybe this is for real. Because like there have been plenty of eight seeds that go in and lose 4-2.
Yep.
But Nashville was coming off a Stanley Cup run, and they had to work significantly harder
just to put the Avs away.
Right, to get through Colorado than all of us expected.
Yep. So,
and that, I think that was the beginning of the this team understanding the postseason and taking it seriously in a really positive manner. And I think tomorrow is going to be a continuation of that. We're going to see, hey, are the Avs, if the Avs put Arizona down, if they come closer to game one, then if they come close to game one at all, you know, and it's a pretty breezy runaway victory, it's going to be real hard for Arizona to get back on top of that, to really push their way back into being competitive in this. And I fully expect we see the best of Arizona tomorrow. Darcy Kemper's going to be pissed. Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel are going to be pissed.
Yep.
A lot of guys that have won some things in this league on the other side there who are going to show out.
But what does a pissed Arizona team look like? Is it outshooting the Avs, or do the Avs hold that team to 20 shots and outshoot them by a dozen? And that's what I want to see.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. We're going to have to see, because what makes the Avs so difficult is that they can do a little bit of everything and they can adapt to different styles.
Yep.
And with Arizona, that's not true. And they're going to have to change something. And to attack more than they did yesterday means to be less, you know, they were all talking about, oh, we kept him to the outside after the game. And it was like, look, the Avs doubled you up. Yeah, it was 33-17 in scoring chances. Okay. Yep. So let's not act like this was a dominant defensive performance. You gave up 40 shots on goal. You can talk all you want about, oh, we kept him to the outside. You lost 9-3 in high danger chances. Like,
I mean, look,
prevent shit.
Even if they did keep him to the outside, you got to score a goal and have a lead before that matters.
Right. And even then, like, Colorado, unless it's a two goal lead, Colorado always responds. Like, they push. There will be the big push at some point.
Yep.
If Arizona doesn't get the first goal of the game, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to that too.
I agree.
Because
they're getting have to get out of their shoes and play a very different style than what they're used to if they don't get it.
On yesterday, they never pushed. And granted, they were down 3-0 all of a sudden, and they never really had a chance to respond to the first goal. A minute and
30 seconds. They were down 3-0.
Yeah. They it went from 0-0 to 3-0 in 90 seconds, and it was like, oh. But they there was no push at the end. They were just like, oh, well, that game's over.
Yep. I'm interested to see how things go. Of course, they have back-to-back games tomorrow and Saturday, so whatever way this series is going to go, it's going to happen fast.
We had somebody in the comment ask about the goalies earlier.
Yeah, I saw that. Am I the only one extremely concerned about the switching of goaltenders? No.
I want to see how tomorrow goes before I really feel.
Yep.
We talked about this on yesterday's pod for a little bit. That depending on how it goes, it could either make all the sense in the world to flip-flop and go to Frankie, or you just let Grubby ride it out. It just depends on how things are.
Avs are in a good situation to let that decision come to them. They don't have to rush anything.
Arizona, like, what happens if Darcy Kemper gets lit up tomorrow? On the off chance that that happens, that guy gives up 5 goals tomorrow, do they play him in game 3?
Who knows?
On a back-to-back, like, they're in a horrible spot.
Yep. So, I think the Avs are sitting pretty on that one. But we do have to take our second period break here as the goaltending, I mean, honorable mention to Darcy Kemper, but anytime you get a shutout, you might be the Strava Craft Coffee performer. So we'll throw that one to Philip Grubauer with his whole 14 saves on the game. Strava Craft Coffee is the CBD-infused coffee that has really changed lives. Another thing you can get at the DNVR bar, cold brew Strava Craft Coffee, if you want to come on in and give it a try before you buy. When you do decide
to... mom poking around with that yesterday.
Yeah, she was thinking about it. She was thinking about it. She's got bad joints, so that stuff does good stuff for her. But
that's awesome. Not the bad joints part.
The bad joints not as great. But, I mean, our boss might have to start using it, too, given that he just tore a bunch of ligaments in his knee. But
yeah, what was that?
Yeah, I don't know. But either way, you can give it a try. And when you decide to buy at StravaCraftCoffee.com, when you sign up for their subscription service, you can get 20% off every single order. So be sure to jump on that great deal when you do decide to get it. The CBD is awesome. I already mentioned helps with aches and pains, particularly in joints, can help with migraines, anxiety, a bunch of other stuff as well. So if you're thinking about it, give it a try today. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. A couple other games to get to around the league. Philadelphia took down Montreal. Nothing too surprising there, but I did just want to show off because Carey Price had maybe the greatest save in the history of the playoffs here. I don't know if you've seen it, AJ, but...
the one where he saved Nick Suzuki's life?
Yeah, because that thing was about to, like... Nick Suzuki was going to need a trip to Green Mountain Dental Group.
Yeah.
And then Carey Price's stick from out of nowhere was like, I got you, bro.
That's, I mean.
What can you even say? Yeah.
It's pure it's pure instinct.
Yep.
To
throw
to
the stick out there.
Desperation, right? And like.
I mean, that's why he's Carey Price. But.
It's funny because, like, so lucky, right? Like, let's be honest here. Like, that's so lucky. Like, he does everything that he can, but he's just hoping that he gets lucky. He didn't even tell you that. I'm sticking my stick out there as a desperation because my body is not there. I'm just trying to get lucky here. And then Nate Thompson misses an open net on a deflection later, and it's like...
Well...
What does the universe have with Montreal goaltenders against top seeds? What the hell is going on?
I was watching the Rockies game before the Avs game the other day, and they interviewed Charlie Blackman. I don't know if you saw this, AJ, but they talked to him, and he said he was talking to the shortstop. And he's like, shortstop's like, man, or Charlie said he got a lucky hit or something, and the shortstop was like, man, all the good hitters seem to get lucky, while all the bad hitters seem to never get lucky.
And the good hitters get lucky a lot.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Kind of the same story with goaltenders there, right? The good goaltenders seem to get lucky a lot more often than the bad goaltenders when it comes to ridiculous saves like that or people just miss the net or otherwise.
Yo, hit us with that question now.
We'll answer some questions. We're just hanging out on a Thursday.
Yeah, we'll
play tomorrow. So
we're on a weird like in between because the next 2 days we're doing post game pods. We've already broken yesterday's game down as thoroughly as we can. So just
kind of looking around the league. So if you got questions in the chat, fire off.
Yeah, toss them at us. Otherwise, you know,
unless you really want to hear about how Dallas lost to Calgary.
Which, I mean, I picked Calgary in that series running away. So, honestly, that was just more of the same. I will say, when Dallas woke up, they looked way different. Because they were down 2-0 in the blink of an eye, and it was like, they're going to get run, dude. Like, they're going to get swept, and this is going to be embarrassing. And then they woke up, and that was a competitive finish.
Ended up a 4-3 game, so they didn't just go away.
Yeah, I was a fan. I liked we'll see how that develops.
Yeah.
Blues Canucks. St. Louis looks
awful. Game one. What I think what we all thought was going to happen to Boston against Carolina kind of happened to St. Louis, where they did not look good in the round robin, and it has carried over. They've not been able to figure it out.
They, you know, Dario has been making this point that they look really content. They won their Stanley Cup last year, and they're like, hey, look, we'll play hard, but when things go against us, we're not okay about with to that. Go
another 20-game grind here. Yeah.
Like we're not gonna kill ourselves for this one. We got last year's and we're good with that. And this is sort of a weird one, and you know.
Ghost asks, Rangers won, laugh. There could be a winger that they could have to shake loose from the New York Rangers. What do you think about going after a Buchnevich or Vitaly Kravtsov? I don't think Kravtsov is going anywhere.
They're not going to get rid of the ELC guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I would make an aggressive play for Kravtsov anyway.
I wouldn't. I didn't like him in his draft year. I'm still on a wait and see on that kid. But
Buchnevich is a guy I've always kind of liked. He's got solid underlying numbers. To me, it feels like a little, not going to be a great comparison, but a little like Burakovsky 2.0-ish.
Not quite as good a shooter, but yeah.
Yeah, like again, they're different players, but true. you're talking about
as far as where they fit into the lineup, I get
what Colorado, if Colorado's going to make a move for a guy, like I think Val Nichushkin is their last reclamation project for a little while.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that Buchnevich would be one. It's just that I don't think the Rangers have to do a damn thing for a little while. Lafreniere is going to be on an ELC. They're fine. They can just take that and say, hey, we're a deep forward core now. You know, Ryan Strom had a 59-point season as their 2C. If he can do that again, then, you know, and granted he played all year next to Artemi Panarin, but if he can do it again, then they're fine. Like they're going to be perfectly competitive up front.
They just aren't really good trade partners with the Avs, are they? You kind of mentioned no more reclamation projects. If the Avs are doing something, they're looking for a legitimate top six forward.
They're looking for a clear upgrade. They're looking for a drag and drop set and forget type of guy. They're not looking for a, hey, let's see how this goes. And then if it goes really well, and maybe we promote this guy and put him into this part of the lineup. And if he hits his ceiling, then we can do this or that. And like the same thing applies for like a Jesse Puljujarvi. No.
Yep.
No.
Keep dropping 40 shots on Arizona and be like, Taylor Hall, you want to come be part of 40 shots every night?
Right. Like you're talking about like a Taylor Hall, or you're going to try and trade for a guy like a Max Domi or a Brandon Saad, like a totally like a,
this guy's giving you 50 points at a minimum.
Established guy that you don't think twice about.
Yeah.
That you know what he does. This is and that's why you're not getting somebody that's 22 years old.
Yep. They have to be a little bit established at this point. They don't have to be ancient, but you know, a player in their prime. So we'll see. Who do you cheer for, Blues or Canucks? I mean, if you're looking for a better matchup for the Avs, the Canucks.
Yeah, because that means Colorado would either get
Canucks or winner of Dallas Calgary.
Yeah.
Which
or in a big galaxy brain scenario, they would get Chicago.
If Chicago beats
if they it would be how wild would it be if they end up, if their path to the Stanley Cup finals ended up being Arizona, Chicago, and then Vancouver.
Wow, what a world.
Because I think that's the 10, 11, and 12 seats.
Yeah, I believe so. So the Avs roll up in like the Cup Finals, having played like 15 games and all of them pretty fresh, whereas the East has overtimes of multiple and every single game going on the other side. Just plus exhausted.
The Cup Finals are going to be in Edmonton, so I don't have to travel anywhere, and then they don't have to get adjusted to a different bubble. There will be no bubble adjustment. They will just
life easy, baby. Yeah. All right. I mean, you got to like it.
Yeah. Reinhardt's another guy for that list.
Yeah.
That we talk about, but, you know, we don't think is realistic, but it's just like, whatever. There's
name a t- top six, legitimate top six forward. And
yeah, and again, he brought up a guy like Granlund, who I think is going to be a really interesting guy, because his career totally cratered when he got to Nashville, which, hey, weird, that keeps happening with guys. And then him getting out of there, like, look what happened when Kevin Fiala leaves Nashville and all of a sudden he blows up and lives up to the guy that he was supposed to have been all along. I'm curious about a guy like Granlund. Curious personally, because I think you could probably get him on a 1 or 2 year deal for pretty cheap and be like, hey, come score 60 points.
We'll make playing, you a ton playing of money. Next to we'll Kadri, go win a cup. Yeah,
and come play for a contender and put up some points in the postseason and build a reputation back up, and then go back into free agency and let somebody pay you $6.5 million per year. It won't be us, but you can come rebuild that value with us. I can see the Avs going that route.
Yeah.
With a previously established guy who's coming off a down year and it's going to be cheap and blah 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 blah. But I don't think that going after the young guy, like, the Rangers have no reason to do anything, to be honest.
Yep, I agree.
They don't have any reason to make any of those moves. They because Lafreniere is on an ELC, they could just drop him into the lineup and be like, okay, go.
Should the West be concerned that the Avs played so well without their top six not really doing that much?
Yep.
Simple as that.
Yeah, they should be. Honestly,
especially after they poke that third goal in like casual.
This looks a little bit like the Avs at the beginning of the year last year, where that top line really hadn't found their footing and they went 8-1-1.
Yep.
Except that the defense is already locked in.
True.
Like, the defense is already playing significantly better. Those guys are all playing with their regular partners, and those are just no need to mess with it. Yep. Until a team punches you in the mouth and makes you do something different, you don't.
I'm with you 100%. If you're winning games, it doesn't matter if your top six is playing off the wall or just okay. A W is a W.
We got a question in here. It says, how do you think the Avs respond if the Yotes impose their shutdown defense style? They don't really have a shutdown defense style. If you go back and you look through their numbers and you look how they played through the year, they're not a good defensive club.
They get smoked on possession all the time.
Right. They play a low event style, but that's because they don't generate much on their end, and they give up more than the average bear every night. They really don't have a great system. They don't have a great style. They don't really have a super defensive whatever. Like, they're not very good at it.
It's very Patrick Waugh coaching style-esque, where they're like, look, we're gonna have our goalie bail us out and counterattack when we can.
That's really it. They rely on speed to get by defenders, and they really just don't, they're just not very good.
Did they shut down McKinnon though? Like, yeah, he didn't play very well, but he picked up two assists in that game.
Yeah. He had two assists, and sure, he wasn't shooting, but he was the most dangerous guy on the ice. They dedicated their entire defensive structure towards erasing him, and he had two assists.
So, if their big play is to hold McKinnon to two assists a game, I think the Avs will be just fine.
Yeah, right. Like, if their big effort results in that, until McKinnon actually gets shut down, because we saw on that, just go back and watch the first power play. McKinnon passes up 2 one-time opportunities. That's not Arizona shutting him down. That's him not shooting.
He's still getting open. He's still finding space, and he's still creating. So I'm sure the coaches took him aside and was like, look, Nathan, you need to shoot the puck. But nonetheless, that was not a shutdown performance.
Yeah, well, and that line dominated possession number-wise too. So it's like, if I'm Nathan McKinnon today, waking up today, I'm not feeling like, oh man, how am I gonna find a way in the series? Like, I gotta find my footing here. You know, I'm not feeling like that at all.
Nope.
Like they, yeah, as I mentioned last night on yesterday's show, Arizona's defense went to sleep for one shift against that line, and they had a tic-tac-toe goal
in the back of their net, like it was easy.
Yeah.
So,
and it resulted in what was essentially an empty net goal for Mikko Rantanen. Like,
well, and it's, I think it was a great reminder of just how flexible the Evs lineup is too. Oh, Namestnikov's not working up here. All right, here's a three-headed monster. Have fun dealing with that.
Right. And I could see that top lineup wasn't working with them. Possession wise, they were great, but Namestnikov was being miscast there yesterday. He just wasn't. For sure. And so it was like, hey, let's switch something up. I would have put Berkey up there.
Why not? He was having a hell of a game.
Instead, they put Landy up there, and it still works out. And it's just like,
okay, well, whatever.
Good luck trying to defend against that, dude.
Keep being bad, Avs. Keep being bad.
They just, like, I don't know, man. Right now, Avs' life is easy life. Everything they're doing finds a way to work. Their only loss was a game in which they, again, outplayed the other team. But they just came up one save short in an overtime game against the other good team in the West.
Well, you know what they say, AJ.
Yellow.
They do say that. They also say happy wife, happy life. And if you want to keep the wife happy,
nice.
In the bedroom, Manscaped.
That's my man.
You looking good below the belt, taking care of that. Happy wife, Manscaped equals happy life. Put it together. Go get your Manscaped package today, whether it be the trimmer. If you want to smell nice for the wife, you can get breath mints, you can get deodorant. They got the whole package for you, taking care of everything. Manscaped.com. You can get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code DNVR20. I have it on good authority. Sure, no beard shaving for the playoffs, but below the belt, you're good to go. You can shave whatever you want down there to take care of business. Heard the Avs did it before they went out and dropped 3 goals in a minute and a half on Arizona. So get on it. Again, manscaped.com to order. That's going to wrap up today's show. No, I mean, I don't know. I guess we can call it a free skate Friday. It'll be a free skate Friday if the Avs win. How about that? We'll be doing a post-game pod tomorrow. So maybe join us in the winner's lounge if things go that way, or you can have some sad drinks in the loser's lounge with us otherwise. But we will be back tomorrow with that. And, of course, a bonus podcast on Saturday post-game as well. So if you did miss it, of course, you can always watch this show on YouTube after the fact. Be sure to subscribe over there to not miss any of the DNVR action. But other than that, have a good rest of your Thursday, and we will catch y'all next time.